Dateline Washington, Tuesday, March 3rd, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the economic road ahead. We'll talk with Dr. John Rutledge, one of the key architects of the Reagan tax cuts in the early 1980s. He's now chairman of Rutledge Capital. What does he expect on Wall Street in the weeks and months ahead? And what does he make of the latest policy decisions from here in Washington? Also in this edition, President Obama is willing to scrap missile defense. In a letter to the Russian leadership, the president says he's willing to scrap plans to build a missile defense shield in Eastern Europe if Russia successfully leverages Iran away from developing nuclear weapons. We'll get a reaction from Karna Small Bodman, who is senior director of President Reagan's National Security Council. Plus, the charade of cap and trade. We'll talk with climatologist Dr. Tim Ball about why the climate change proposition known as cap and trade is really just a huge carbon tax on all of us by another name. And what deregulation? President Obama and many Democrats blame the Bush administration's excessive deregulation for the economic woes we face right now. But was there any deregulation over the past 8 years? We'll ask Dan Mitchell of the Cato Institute. All that plus Tuesday's headlines are straight ahead, but we begin with Dr. John Rutledge on the economy, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Dr. John Rutledge, chairman of Rutledge Capital. He was also one of the key planners of the Reagan tax cuts in the early 1980s, and he was also an advisor on tax policy with the George W. Bush administration. We want to get his thoughts on the struggling markets right now, which is an understatement to say the least, as well as some of the policy decisions coming out of Washington. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
Greg, it's nice to be with you.
Well, you have certainly studied the economy. You've studied Wall Street for a very long time. The economy, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, now worth less than half of its peak. How concerned are you about how low this can go?
Well, I'll tell you, this is striking, this sell-off in the market. And, you know, the truth is it goes down until people become more confident in the future again. And I don't know. I'll tell you the bottom line answer is I'm not selling stocks I own today because I don't think I'm going to be clever enough to know just when that day is. But there's an anomaly in the stock market. It's pretty clear that the stock market today, stock prices are probably about half of the value of the company's cash flows. But it's also true that rising tax rates and other things are reducing the value of those cash flows. And so there's a short, medium term bounce back we ought to get at some point. I'm more concerned about the long run than I am really worried about the short term.
And in terms of the fundamentals that you're looking for about the long term, what troubles you right now, and what will give you more confidence?
Well, you know, near term, everybody's scared, of course. The best way to see that is to look at the currency holding numbers, the Fed reports. People have increased their currency holdings by $75 billion since this whole crisis started. That means people have taken $75 billion out of their banks in $20 and $100 bills and are holding them at home in coffee cans or in safes or under their mattress. That's an enormous number. To put it in perspective, the bank reserves for the entire country were $85 billion, or roughly the same size number when this mess all got started. So people are just scared to death right now. And when you're scared, you don't buy cars, you don't buy anything. And so that fear is what really took the bottom out from under the economy in September. Long term, I'm more worried about the size of the government, tax rates, productivity, things like that, because the budget announced by President Obama the other day was extraordinarily anti-capital in terms of its tax policy. And there are a lot of parts of the world that are very eager to get that capital, you know, Singapore, Taiwan, most of Asia. And when you reduce the after-tax value of the cash flow from owning capital, the price drops, the return drops, and the owner of the capital can move it to a different place.
We're talking with Dr. John Rutledge, chairman of Rutledge Capital. And, John, you mentioned the Obama budget, which you don't believe is helpful for certainly the global economy, but also the U.S. economy in and of itself. Of course, the two are very closely intertwined. What would have been a smarter approach in this budget, or specifically in tax policy? And the second half of that is, what specifically about the Obama tax agenda do you think is the most harmful?
Well, the mess we're in today, I think, and you can't lay it at Obama's feet. It has nothing to do, in my mind, with Republicans and Democrats. It's essentially that the bond market froze up about a year and a half ago. And then for more than a year after that, the Fed did things that actually made it worse and made money less available until people run on the money market funds this last September when Lehman failed. Since then, the Fed has been dumping bucket loads of money into the system and have gone too much the other direction. That whole whipsaw the Fed gave the economy set up the depth of the crisis we're in right now. The textbooks all say that when the economy is falling, you should spend more money and cut taxes. And the spending more money part, they've got just perfect. They've massively increased the amount of government spending, they meaning both Bush and the Obama administrations. The tax rates are the real problem because rising tax rates lowers after-tax returns on the work that people do, both work and also returns on capital. And when the after-tax returns fail or fall, so did the value of the capital. A good example, in 2003, when the dividend tax cut came down, that raised the after-tax return on capital and caused a big increase in both dividends and the value of the stock market. That is pretty clear. Those tax cuts are gone, and instead we have huge increases, especially on small businesses. Small businesses in America are having a tough time getting credit today, and now they're looking at a very stiff tax increase. Small businesses create all of the new jobs that we need to get out of this hole. So I don't think they did a very good job thinking about the growth side of the equation.
John, in terms of what to do in an economic downturn, as I mentioned in the introduction, you were part of the team that put together the Reagan tax cut package in 1981, which was also an extremely difficult economic situation. Folks may notice when economic indicators are in decline right now, they're the worst since like 1982 and so forth, and that's the era that you were needing to deal with. What was the thinking inside the room? What led you and your colleagues, and obviously the president, to realize that tax cutting was the way to stimulate the economy?
Well, the people, first of all, the key to being a hero in government is choosing your predecessor wisely. And President Reagan chose Jimmy Carter. At the time Reagan took office, the top federal tax rate was 70%. The long-term Treasury bond was 15%. Treasury bills were 22%. Inflation was 15%. So if you were warm and had a pulse, you had to do better than that. What made the Reagan package so interesting is that President Reagan himself was a believer in smaller government and incentives. So his instructions to the team were very simple: lower taxes, lower spending, less regulations, and lower inflation. And that put the economy through a tremendous ringer over the early Reagan years, which were very dire. But by 1986, inflation was 1.5%, and we were off to a huge capital spending boom. Obama took over in a difficult time also, but I think instead of fixing the fundamental problem, he has dealt with the short-term symptoms, and those are going to probably make the problem long-term more difficult by undermining growth.
John, you mentioned a little bit earlier that government spending during a severe economic downturn is a way to inject some capital into the economy. And you mentioned that that's also very important for emerging Asian markets. And I know you spend a lot of time over there. Some folks are wondering, though, with the huge price tag of this budget that obviously will be going into much more deficit spending, are the Chinese in particular, but also the Japanese and others, in a position to continue to at least cover that debt right now?
Well, each of those Asian countries is suffering a decline like we are now. In fact, the drop is sharper in both Japan and China than it is here. And when that happens, of course, they run out of cash flow too, so they won't have the cash flow to go shopping for government bonds or other securities. That said, they can't really sell their portfolios either, because if they did, it would change their currencies against the dollar. And the reason they hold those reserves is in order to fix the current yen dollar, the RMB dollar rate. So I don't worry that they're going to take a hike and stop buying treasury bills for logical reasons, but mostly because I have dinner with those guys on occasion, and I don't see them going that way. They're much more interested in maintaining the stability of their societies than they are about the return on the foreign reserves. So I think I don't think you'll see any big shocks coming out of Asia or the Gulf region. I've met with those sovereign wealth funds too recently.
Couple minutes left here with Dr. John Rutledge. And real quickly, we've gotten your evaluation of the policies we've already seen from the new administration. What would you encourage them to continue doing going forward, and what would you encourage them not to do going forward here?
I would be cautious. I would not raise the tax rates that we've seen talked about, and maybe Congress in its wisdom will learn that or decide that. I think it's too late for the spending bill. I think they're going to spend the money. I think it's important that we approach the rest of the world without antagonism, because they're going through difficulties too. So bashing on China or other countries will only make the situation worse, as will protectionism. So avoiding protectionism, holding the line on the tax increases so we can get the economy growing again are really the keys, I think, for economic policy. And a little bit of believing in the future wouldn't hurt either. In his speeches, Obama has taken over the mantra of George Bush, which is just try and scare people in order to get Congress to pass bills. That's making the situation much worse. Obama has a great gift as a speaker. He needs to use that gift to help people calm down enough to go back to work and go back to the shopping malls. And if he does that, it will really help the economy get back on its feet.
Well, John, we'll certainly keep track of it, and we certainly hope to check back in with you as these decisions and hopefully improvements in the markets and so forth are seen. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Dr. John Rutledge is chairman of Rutledge Capital, one of the leading architects of the Reagan tax cuts in the early 1980s. He was also a tax policy advisor to President George W. Bush. This is Dateline Washington.